Greet y'all in Jesus' name. Blessing to be together in the house of the Lord. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord, we come to you in Jesus' name. We thank you for being our great God, our King and Savior. Thank you for the kingdom of God and that we can be a part of. And Lord, that it is through your grace, your love and mercy that we can be here together, part of your kingdom. God, I pray that you'd come by your Spirit, and as we open your word, may you minister to our hearts, God, and give us courage, give us grace to go on. Father, that we could see a greater picture of your plan for us here as mankind, here on this earth, in the time that we have. Lord, we just look to you, we trust in you, pray that you'd be glorified, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I'd like to share a message on redeeming the time, the gift of time. I had to think about that in the past a lot, just time in general. And I was going to ask the question, what comes to your mind when you think of time? If you have something on your mind, I'd like to hear that. What comes to your mind when you think of time? Open it up here just for a little bit, what your thoughts are. Passing. Opportunity. Very good. Schedule. That's right. A lifetime. Life on earth. Very good. Okay. Those are all good things that, you know, we're sort of depending on the clock. You know, every day, you know, at certain times we get up. It's morning again. And the Bible says there's a time for everything. A time to be born, a time to die. A time for everything. But yet sometimes in the busyness of our lives, we feel like we're running out of time. Or there's not enough time, perhaps, in the day. But God has set up each day His way. And every 24 hours, we can count on it. The sun is there. It comes up without fail. God is on time, and He's a God of order. So I thought I'd read a couple verses in the beginning of the Bible here. You can turn to these scriptures in Genesis 1. Just look at a little bit of picture of God who is eternal, and He does not have the limitations of time, schedules. He always was, He always will be. There's not a schedule that He runs by, could you say. But God is the creator of time. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Skip down to verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons, for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and it was so. So God put the lights in the sky, the sun, the moon, and the stars, and all the planets for days, for years, for seasons. You know, right now we're in the winter season, and that is, you know, just a couple months here in this climate, but then spring is on its way, and then we have warm weather coming, and summer is here. And that cycle just repeats year after year. So God is the creator of time, but He's not limited to time. He exists outside of time. Maybe we'll read a couple verses in Isaiah. Isaiah 57, verse 15. Just get us a little perspective of how God is and His eternal existence. Isaiah 57, verse 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to receive the heart of the contrite ones. So God inhabits eternity. He is the creator of eternity, perhaps, could you say. We can't understand that, or my mind, like, the beginning of time was sort of as far back as we can go, and then we can try to imagine how it was before then. But God inhabits eternity, and he dwells in a high and a holy place, and we think of that heaven, and also with us people, his creation, who have contrite, humble hearts. Isaiah 46, verse 9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that were not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. So he is God. He can declare the end at the beginning. Unlimited. He just blows my mind sometimes just to try to think. God knows everything. He can declare the end of whatever. He is unlimited. But yet we are here in this framework of time. We don't know our end. We were told when we were born, but we don't even remember that. And we can sort of predict our end, but God knows our end, but yet we have this choice. We have a choice to make. God doesn't just set the way and we are in that groove, but we have choices. We have opportunity in time here. Psalm 45, verse 6. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. So God's throne is forever and ever. It is without beginning and without end. In Psalm 90, read four verses there. Psalm chapter 90, verse 1 through 4. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, wherever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and saith, return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. So before the mountains, before a creation, God was from everlasting to everlasting, just beyond what we can think of. In 1,000 years, if we think of 1,000 years back, that's a long time, many generations. But in God's mind, it's like yesterday. Just we can sort of recall what, or we can all say what we did yesterday. And that's the way God is. In 1,000 years from now, he can just recite this whole service, how we had the service here and what happened and who was here. It's just quite phenomenal how great God is. And in 2 Peter 3, verse 8 says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. So in God's mind, you know, 1,000 years is the same as one day. It is so great. His mind is, we can't think of his greatness, but he always was and always will be. And we are here today. Each one of us is here today. And we have time. We have time today. And I view it as a gift. Sometimes in the busyness of life, you know, we just day to day to day, and just the moments fleeting past, and the days tick by, and the weeks, the months, the years keep going by, and I'm amazed how fast time goes. Thinking back when my dad was like 30 years old, old man, or I thought, you know, old man. Now I'm past that, so it just flies past. So God created time, and we are all creatures of time. We can try to figure out eternity, but we're limited to how far we can think or how far we can go. I had the thought already, like, well, if God was forever, why did he wait so long to build the earth and all that? But we can ask those questions, you know. God's timing is right, and he always was and always will be. And we always have a beginning, and we always have an end. If you ever walk through a graveyard and just look at some of the tombstones, and you have a birth year or birth date, and there's this little dash, and then there's the time of death. So right now, we are living in that little space of time. The dash is not very long compared to eternity. So I just want to encourage our hearts that we do with our time what we can, make use of our time. And God, who existed eternally, will end time in his time. He'll end time. And man, the redeemed, will live in heaven with him in an eternal relationship or eternal praising forever, forever in heaven. That's amazing. And we are all gifted right now, this time, today. What are we doing with it? We all have the same amount of time. Sometimes you hear that comment, well, I just don't have enough time, or time's running out, you know, I gotta go, or you got scheduled to meet and gotta get going, you know. But we all have the same amount of seconds, minutes, hours, days. However, not all of us live 70, 80 years old. Some of us could die tomorrow. We don't know our last day. But yet we always think, well, you know, once I'm maybe 70, getting 80, you know, that's pretty old, then time is about to end. But we don't know when our end is. Then I ask myself the question, what am I doing? What am I, Nathan Coons, doing with my time? And let's all ask that question. And I don't want to have this as a heavy thing or, you know, just, but a motivation and encouragement to use our time wisely, not just like, oh, you know, we just had really zoned down in on this thing, but be free in our hearts and to see the greater picture of just my mundane life every day in the things that I'm doing. But sometimes it's good for us to back off and just to think a little bit about who God is and his greatness, what his plan was for us as mankind here. And I believe we, as part of God's family, part of the heavenly kingdom, God has a plan for us. God has a plan for each one of us in our lives personally. And it's very essential that we have a kingdom focus. Every day, you know, the world is racing by, and we are involved in business and meeting all our demands, could you say. But it's important to have a kingdom focus. God has us here today, and we want to be part of his kingdom, and there's a kingdom to be built. It's very important that we have a kingdom mindset. It's very foundational for, I think, our whole outlook on life, to have a kingdom focus. And as we look around the carnal man and the secular world around us, they're all going after things that can fill their time and their energy and their pursuits. And what a big contrast, I think, that should be of the children of God and how he fills his time. Because we are serving our Creator, and we are as ambassadors for his kingdom. And most times the natural man has no kingdom values. They're just living for themselves. What can I get out of life? Their pursuits, you know, what can benefit me? And I think that's opposite of the Christian, the child of God. That should be, what can I contribute? Where can I serve? What can I do for the kingdom of God? Many times we might be influenced by the community, the society around us. But may God help us to stop and think, why are we here? Where am I spending my time and energy? And what am I living for? So God has given us a tremendous gift of time. Maybe we'll turn to Ephesians chapter 5. What are we doing with it? Ephesians 5, verse 14 through 17. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Colossians 4, verse 5 and 6. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. So redeeming the time, that means to buy back or buy up, that is ransom, to rescue from loss, improve opportunity. Those are from the Strong's. The Vine's Dictionary is buying up opportunity, a time when in which something is seasonable. It's just a season. Making the most of every opportunity, turning each to the best advantage, since none can be recalled if missed. So opportunities that are missed can't be recalled. Let's go back up and look at the word circumspectly. That is basically, that same word is used back in the Gospels when Herod talked with the wise men, and he sent them after the little child Jesus. And he says, and he sent them to Bethlehem. That's Matthew 2, verse 8. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. Search diligently. That word diligently is the same word as circumspectly. And that means to be exactly, to be diligent, to be perfect, to be careful. So we should walk exactly, diligently, perfect and careful. So we're not as fools just wandering around, but we are being wise, we're being careful with what we're doing. And we're redeeming the time. We're making best use of each opportunity that comes our way. And it says the days are evil. And I believe the days are getting perhaps more evil. Not less and less. But I think the world and the pressures of the devil and the whole force is just becoming more and more evil. The days are evil. So let's be careful. Let's redeem the time. Here's a quote that says, "Time is redeemed when you make the most of your time by fulfilling God's purposes." By fulfilling God's purposes, we can redeem the time. The next point I have is, while it is day. While it is day. Jesus said in John chapter 9, verse 4, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." John 4, verse 35 says, "Say ye not, there are yet 4 months, and then come harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest." I'll read a couple more verses in Galatians, verse 6. Galatians 6, 7 through 10. "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially unto those who are of the household of faith." As we have opportunity, let us do good. And Jesus was like, we need to work while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. And I think we are still in the time of day. There is time. There's opportunity here. So let's engage. Let's engage wherever we are and make the best use of our time. Because the night is coming. There's a time coming when there will be no more time. There will be no more opportunity. So let's use what we have today. And it seems like some people might not see the need to be engaged, but I think it's God's will for our lives to be engaged in His kingdom wherever we are. It doesn't matter if you're a father, a mother, a child, a youth, older person, a grandfather, grandmother, but you can do something. You have opportunity if you look for it. It has been said that there's like 3 kinds of people. People that make things happen, those who watch things happen, and others who wonder what happened. So let's be of those who make things happen. We don't have to be doing something huge, but whatever you can do, wherever your situation is, engage yourself while it is day, because the night is coming. And I think we are in the time of harvest. People are coming to the Lord. The time is here. Everything has been fulfilled. Jesus came. Jesus lived and died. The price has been paid. There's a great, great opportunity that we have to encourage people to seek Jesus, to point people to the cross. I was thinking of redeeming the time as families, fathers and mothers. One of a great, great opportunity that we have in investing in our children. Our children they all have eternal souls. They are all around us every day. What an opportunity that we have. And let us not be too busy to miss the opportunity of teaching our children. Investing in them, taking time with them, teaching and guiding them in the right ways. and doing things together. I think there's a big lack of just maybe even in our Anabaptist heritage, or maybe at the circles today, it seems family units are becoming maybe less strong, or they're not together as much as they used to be. We all have our own cars. All the youth have their own way of transportation. We can all get there somehow. Everyone just gets in their cars and goes. I'm not against that, but looking back years ago is more just the family vehicle, and I like to see that being together and doing things together, having devotions together, mealtime. I think that's good to have a meal together at least once a day, if possible. And playing together and visiting older people. Not just about all about ourselves, but it's doing stuff together, doing life together. Visiting widows, our neighbors, sharing the gospel in whatever way we can to minister as a family together. Singing and praying. Memorizing the scripture, memorizing the Bible together. Do that. It's a very good thing to do with your children. And I think it's powerful when I think back of when I was younger, some of the chapters I memorized as a family, I still sort of, they're right there. You know, I just need to brush up a little bit. And it's powerful how long that follows with you. So fathers and mothers, let's do that. Invest in our children, teaching them the Bible, teaching them how to memorize the Bible. And sometimes dads, we get tired, or we need to relax a little bit, we think. And the recliner or the chair feels good. Sunday afternoon rolls around and we could just clunk out for a little bit. But the children are off playing somewhere, and we're not quite sure, are they okay or what's going on? But yeah, we hope they're fine. And the easiest thing for us to do is just sit there. But I think it's good for us to get up out of our chair and check up on them. And maybe we lose out a little bit on sleep sometimes, but there's a time for everything, you know. We won't die about it. You know, we're okay. We can do it. Or if one of the children is having a difficult time or something they're working through, we need to take the time, be there, and hear their hearts and minister to them, give them hope, give them encouragement, and help them through their needs, because we are there, we are their father, we can minister to them in that way. If we don't, someone else might, and they might get wrong counsel, or they get discouraged and lose out. So Lord, help us to take the time we need to minister to our families in our homes. And also for the moms, you're there every day, all day long. And I'm just amazed how moms can do that. Sometimes my wife leaves for maybe a close to a full day, and it's like, can you do this, or you know, make sure this is done, that's done, everything gets done. But to them it's every day. So I think moms have a very powerful place teaching, guiding the children. Don't miss those opportunities to minister to your children. And youth, the next one I have is youth. The time in life when I treasure a lot, and looking back, I would have changed some things now maybe, but God's grace was there And by His grace, today I am where I am because of His grace. But youth is a time when we have energy, we could do something. Turn to Ecclesiastes, chapter 11. Read verse 9 and 10, and then into chapter 12. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Here we see that we should take courage and rejoice in our youth. And it says, walk in the ways of thy heart. That almost seems carnal. But if we are His, we are a child of God, we have a new heart, we can have that the right desires. But we have to understand and know that for all the things that we do, God is going to bring us unto judgment. All the things are open before Him, and we're going to be judged for the things that we do. And it says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Seems today in today's world, the children are in the schools and in the high schools, and they don't hear about God. There's no Bible there. I think there's many a youth that doesn't have this opportunity that we have here, sitting here together, to hear the gospel and to remember who God is. And then in the next few verses there, it explains a little bit, when the sun or the light or the moon and the stars be not darkened. It's like before those years come, while you are healthy. I sort of wrote out a little bit to explain that a little bit through the Amplified Bible and some of my own thoughts. Remember your Creator before the evil days come or the years come, when you shall say of physical pleasures, I have no enjoyment in them. Before your eyesight grows dim, before clouds of depression set in after tears, before the days when your hands and arms are weak and tremble, before your teeth are few and the eyes are darkened. So before you get old, now, today, seek God. Remember Him. While you have strength, before your body decays or starts getting weak, remember God. Use your energy now, what you have, and do something for the kingdom. Engage yourself to fully walk with God daily. Walk with God. Live to serve others unselfishly. Set goals and visions for your life and your future. Set some goals. Be a servant to those around you. Look ways to serve and opportunity that come around. Serve. Be of use for the kingdom. Pray for the lost souls around you and the unreached in the whole world. Pray for those people. It's a good exercise. I encourage you to get a book with all the different countries in the world. I still have an old book called World Operation. And just page through there and just gives you all the numbers, statistics, and who the people are, what they do, and what their culture is, and what their pursuits are, and just different things. Today we have the internet, we can get all that, but I thought it was a healthy thing as a young man, just go through that book and take a country and just pray for that country, for the needs of the country and their salvation, that God would somehow send missionaries or somebody to minister to the unreached people of the world. And don't give in to the lies of the devil and the world that say, oh, you're young, don't worry about it. You know, you have 50, 60 years left. You know, you got all of the time ahead of you. Go out and have some fun and follow your heart. Do whatever feels good. Someday I'll find Jesus, or, you know, I know the way. I've been taught. I'll come back and do that. That is a lie. That is wrong. Right? That's a lie from the world and Satan himself, that we can have the pleasures of sin, that we can go out and do whatever we want to. But that is not right. God help us to not listen to those lies. I view youth as a very critical time in our lives. Very critical. It's like the foundation. If you view a foundation of a structure or a building, that's what comes first. You lay that thing solid. You lay it well. And I view the time of youth as a foundation. So think of that. Even though you're young, you have your whole life in front of you, I think it's a foundation for your life ahead. And once you're older, you're set in your ways, and people don't change very easy when they're older. So while you have today, do what is right. Here's a quote. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow has not come yet. We only have today. Let us begin. Let us do something today, not wait. If you have not the time God gave you, you must have misspent it. Have we misspent our time? And I had to think a little bit of time that is easily wasted in our day, and that is one of a really handy tool that we have in our pockets, our phones. A very powerful, handy tool. Saves us so much time. I mean, we can go down the road, have the Google Maps on, see an accident ahead, and we can detour that thing and hardly lose any time. Otherwise, we could have got stuck for a long time in traffic. Very powerful tool. Very wonderful things that it does. But sometimes I think our phones are taking away time. I'm talking to myself. My phone is taking time away that are maybe opportunities that I miss or things that I should be doing. So I just want to give us that warning and to think about that. And we're all looking for something, and everyone has a phone. The whole world has phones, it seems, these days. Children everywhere in the cities. But it doesn't give any fulfilling peace or joy or contentment. Everyone's just looking at something trying to fulfill a void in their life. And the whole world seems to be shouting in your face, oh, you need this, you need to buy that, you need to go there, you need to do this to make life better for you, or to improve your life, or to get some experience through this certain place. But most of that is empty. It won't last. And in America, it seems depression is fairly high. Maybe it spiked over the time of COVID, but they say around 8% maybe of Americans face depression. Maybe not all the time, but that was just a quick study I did, that people are depressed. They don't have the the joy. They don't have what they're looking for. Even though they have everything, they sort of get their hands on, could you say. Lord, help us to be aware of that, our phones. The next heading here is, the time is short. The time is short. Job chapter 7, verse 6. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. Job chapter 8, verse 9 says, for we are but of yesterday and know nothing, because our days upon the earth are a shadow. The days are like a shadow, just there it is and there it's gone. Psalm 90, verse 9 and 10. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spent our years as a tale is told. The days of our years are 80 years and 10. And if by reason of strength, they be 80 years. Yet is there strength and labor and sorrow. For soon it is cut off and we fly away. The New Testament in Peter, 1 Peter verse 1, 24 and 25. For all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower falleth, thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So the flower, our life is like a flower in the grass. Just you look out there, there's a beautiful flower that just seems a few days and it's gone. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. James chapter 4. Read a couple verses there in James 4. Verse 13 through 17. Go to now, and ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue therein a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what your life is. It is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanished away. For ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live, do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So we usually make our schedules, we make our plans, you know, we map everything out, boing, 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 do all this, and maybe we have to do some of this, but let's not be set in our ways or in our schedules. If it is God's will, we will do this, we will do that. Let's make a plan, that's good. But if it's God's will, and we are living today, and we can't live in the future, and we can't do things after they're done. We can't redo yesterday. It is today that counts. I've heard the question already, what is the most important day in your life? What is the most important day in your life? Was it when you were born? Pretty amazing day, or else you wouldn't be here. When you got saved, when Jesus washed your sins away, very important day. Or is it when you die? What's the most important day? And there's maybe not a right and wrong answer, but I think today is our important day, very important. Today is what counts. 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2 says, for he saith, I have heard thee in a accepted time, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. He's saying, now, today is that day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not next year. Today, if you hear his voice, and in Hebrews, he talks about the children of Israel, hardening their hearts, and they didn't have faith to enter the promised land. But he encourages us today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. So if God is speaking to you today, do something about it. Not think that you have time tomorrow or push it off till the next day, but today is the most important day of your life. We don't know when our life ends. Today could be that day. Romans 13, verse 11 and 12. And that, knowing the time, that is now high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. So let's wake up out of our sleep. Our salvation is drawing near. Today, while we have time. So I want to encourage us all to live each moment with a kingdom perspective. We get wrapped up in our everyday things, but have a consciousness of a kingdom perspective of God and his kingdom. Taking the opportunities while it is today. As Jesus said, it is day. I must work to build his kingdom. Lord, help us to do that. To take each moment by moment. The time keeps ticking on, ticking on, ticking on. We don't know when our end is. But God knows. And we can trust in him and live in his will and in doing his purpose and build his kingdom. I have a couple of poems here to read here in the end. When I was a child, I laughed and wept. Time crept. When I was a youth, I waxed more bold. Time strolled. When I became a full-grown man, time ran. When older still, I daily grew. Time flew. Soon I shall find, in passing on, time gone, time gone. We have this moment to hold in our hands, like sand in our hands, and it slips through our fingers. The sand just slips through our fingers, like yesterday's gone, and tomorrow may never come. There's a song like that. But we have this moment today. Let's take the opportunity, this moment today, and do what we can. There's another poem here I'll read from C.T. Studd. He was a missionary, a British missionary, and in the 1800s, and he served in China and India and in Africa, and he wrote this poem here. Two little lines I heard one day, traveling along life's busy way, bringing conviction to my heart and from my mind would not depart. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one. Soon will its fleeting hours be done. Then, in that day, my Lord, to meet and stand before his judgment seat. Only one life, the still small voice, gently pleads for a better choice, bidding me selfish aims to leave and to God's holy will to cleave. Only one life, a few brief years, each with its burdens, hopes, and fears, each with its day I must fulfill, living for self or his will. When this bright world would tempt me sore, when Satan would a victory score, when self would seek to have its way, help me, Lord, with joy to say, give me, Father, a purpose deep, in joy or in sorrow, thy word to keep, faithful and true, whate'er the strife, pleasing thee in my daily life. Oh, let my love with fervor burn, and from the world now let me turn, living for thee and thee alone, bringing thee pleasure on thy throne. Only one life, yes, only one, now let me say, thy will be done, And when at last I hear the call, I know I'll say, 'Twas worth it all. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ shall last. And when I am dying, how happy I'll be if the lamp of my life has been burned out for thee.'" God bless you.